Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10, and I'm going to read the entire chapter, and then I'm going to talk about it one at a time, concerning the man Cornelius, the man Peter, and God himself. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, Roman soldiers, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up before a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all of the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, and saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are held in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. I'm going to stop there, and we'll finish the chapter in a little bit. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for opportunity to go to your word and read and to learn and to gain application, and also to be reminded of things and to reminded of simple things. Help us to hear from your word today, that you would guide my mind, my heart, my mouth, and that your word would be delivered and that it would be received and that it would result in the salvation of someone, whether they're in this room right now or someone that we know, but it would result in the salvation of someone by what we do and determine to do and decide with your word. We ask that you would work in our hearts for that reason. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, we have the man Cornelius. The Bible says in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea. Caesarea would have been north. Joppa, where Peter was at, is where you have the modern-day Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv didn't exist then, but it's basically almost the exact same place along the coast. And up the coast a little ways, maybe 30, 40, 50 miles up the coast, there's Caesarea. Caesarea was the main center for Pontius Pilate. And as a matter of fact, in 1960, they discovered a huge stone that had inscribed on there the name of Pontius Pilate. And I've seen that stone. It's there, and they have it on display there in Caesarea. And it was kind of the main headquarters and a beautiful harbor that was built there by Herod the Great. And quite a place Caesarea was, and it was a Roman headquarters for sure. And this man, this Cornelius, was a centurion. That means that he was in charge of 100 soldiers. He had 100 Roman soldiers under him that listened to him, and he told them what to do. But not only that, this man was, in verse 2, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. His whole house understood that they were to fear God, capital G God, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This man was devout. This man was sincere. This man gave money, that's alms. He gave offerings to the people. He loved the Jewish people that were there, and he treated them well. And it says in verse 22, this Cornelius centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. This is who Cornelius is. He was devout. He was sincere, he fasted, and he prayed, and he gave offering and gave gifts to people, and he was devout and respecter of the true God of heaven. But there was one thing he wasn't, and that was he wasn't saved, he was lost. Let me tell you something. He did more things than some people that claim to be saved do. There's saved people that never fast and pray and are devout, and raise their house to believe and worship the God of heaven. This man was devout and sincere, but he was lost. In today's world, we're so thrilled to see someone who actually recognizes God that we automatically assume that they're Christian. In today's world, if you hear someone saying, "I believe in creation, I think evolution's stupid," we're like, "Ha ha!" And if they say something like, abortion's wrong, I can't believe what's..." And praise God for people who are fighting against the abortion and all that stuff. Well, let me tell you something. You can believe there's a God in heaven, and you can even pray to him in your own mind. But if you don't know something that Cornelius needed to know, you'll die and go to hell. You say, "Wait a minute, Pastor. I didn't finish the chapter, so hang with me." See, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, many will say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done wonderful works in thy name, and thy name cast out devils and done wonderful works?" And he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so I appreciate, and they appreciated, this man Cornelius, who was devout, who was a good man, a good person. Listen, there are people out there that are good people. They're sincere, but they're not yet born again. There's even people sitting in this room today. When I first met them, I knew that they were a respecter of God. I knew that they wanted to worship the true God. I knew it the first time I met them. But they weren't saved yet. They are now, but they weren't at the time. Don't ever be fooled, ladies and gentlemen. Don't ever be fooled with someone who sounds religious or even talks correctly about God and assume that means they're saved. There's one key ingredient that has to be, and we'll talk about that before we're done today. Notice something else, and this is the reason why God answered his prayer. He was a centurion, verse 1. Verse 22, he was a centurion. Centurion means he was over 100 Roman soldiers. And yet, verse 25, when Peter came and Cornelius met him, he fell down at his feet. Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet and worshiped Peter. Let me tell you something. Peter was a Jewish fisherman. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. Romans didn't bow to Jews. But Cornelius was a humble heart. Cornelius had a humble heart, and the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Cornelius knew that he needed something, and God told him a guy named Peter had the answer. And so when Peter walked in, Cornelius just automatically assumed, this is my answer, and he started to worship Peter. Now, let me also say this. In verse 26, Peter grabbed him and stood him back up and said, don't worship me, I'm just a man like you. There's people that still worship Peter. You know all the descendants of the Pope? They say Peter was the original Pope. They got it wrong, okay? Peter said, no, you don't worship me, I'm just a man. We don't bow down and kiss rings and all that. But my point is that Cornelius had a humble heart. He was a leader of 100 fighting men, and he was bowing to a fisherman because he knew he needed something. And God told him that fisherman had the answer. So that's Cornelius. That's who he is. Now, who's Peter? Well, Peter was a fisherman, and Jesus called him and said, I want to make you fishers of men. And Peter, I love Peter, and here's why I love Peter. I need Peter to be who he is because it helps me to be encouraged about my shortcomings. Peter was a guy that always shot himself in the foot and always stuck his foot in his mouth and always said things he shouldn't say at times. But then there were times God used him. And back in Acts chapter 2, Peter stood up and preached and 3,000 people got saved. But all 3,000 of those people were Jews who had come in from other places to worship in Jerusalem. And Peter was a typical, and I'm not picking on him when I say this, but he was a typical, misguided Jewish man who assumed that Old Testament law and even traditional law was the way it was supposed to be. And so God, after God had told the centurion, Cornelius, I'm going to send you someone. I'm going to help you. I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to show you what you need to know. God went down while Cornelius' men, his three friends, were traveling to see Peter down in Joppa. God went to Peter while Peter was about to have dinner. And God gave Peter a vision about this sheet coming down out of heaven. And inside the sheet were all these things that were unclean. What does that mean, unclean? Pork. Pigs. All the things that you're not, non-kosher, as they would say today. All right? And this sheet's coming down from heaven, and all these unclean things are in it. And they were common or unclean, as it says in verse 14. But notice in verse 14, God says in verse 13, a voice comes to him and says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter had never eaten anything like this before. And verse 14, Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. I just want to point out something here. At this particular moment, Peter was being more Jewish than God. Who's talking to him? Who does he even recognize as talking to him? Not so who? Should those words go together? Does that even make sense? Not so, Lord. Whoa, hold on. Time out. Who are you calling Lord? Are you disagreeing with your Lord? That's what he's doing. But it's so ingrained in him, see? It's so ingrained. It's just ingrained. And no, this is what makes me special. No, it's not. And God was teaching Peter and the rest of the Jewish Christians something they needed to understand. Let's start reading in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Now, before this, I would have to say that Peter was. I mean, he's literally saying common, unclean. I don't know, maybe he walked into Cornelius' house and they had bacon frying. I don't know. By the way, praise the Lord for salvation and the New Testament, because I love bacon. All right? Feel sorry for all those people who don't think they can have it. But Peter said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Verse 35, "But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all." That word, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. "That word, I say, ye now, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John the Baptist preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses of all these things, all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. That means they of the Jews who were circumcised, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me stop here for just a moment. Why didn't God just have the angel tell Cornelius how to get saved? Why didn't God just tell the angel, "It's Jesus"? Because God wanted Peter to learn something. God wanted Peter and all the other circumcised that came with Peter to understand something. And that is that God was interested in the world. You know what leads to salvations? Obedience. Cornelius obeyed the knowledge that he had. Now, I believe there are people out there that know something. They know that God is real. They know there's something to it. Again, I know of someone in this, I'm thinking of someone in this room right now, from the first time I met them, I knew that they knew there was something about the truth. They knew it, but they just didn't know until it was explained to them from the Word of God who it is and how it is, and then they received it. And here's what I know. I know that when God sees someone who's hungry and desires to know more about the light they've been given, that God will send them and cross paths with them. That's what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch on the way back to Ethiopia. God literally transplanted and made sure that Philip was there to preach Jesus to him. And here Peter had to learn this lesson. I was talking about one of my sons before church today. I've got a son who is straight-laced. I mean, everything's cut and dry, black and white, rules, regulate. Listen, that's the way Peter was. I mean, everything is, it's got to be this way. And no, sir, and to the point, "Not so, Lord." Hold on, who are you arguing with? Hold on. There comes a point when we are so impressed with how we do things and who we are, we forget. God so loved the, does it say Jews? For God so loved the world. What did Jesus say to Peter and the other disciples before he left the earth? What did he say? "Go ye into all Jerusalem." No. "Go ye into all the what?" The world. "And preach the gospel to how many?" Every creature. Teach how many nations? All nations. It went through one ear and out the other. They just didn't get that part. They didn't realize he really meant what he said. And God was teaching Peter and the others, it's for everybody. Jesus came through the Jewish lineage, but it's for everybody. And so Peter and these others are astonished. They're shocked. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Let me stop here for a minute. Tongues is mentioned here. Some churches, some, I believe, misguided religions are still teaching that you can speak in tongues. I believe, first of all, tongues is languages. And I believe that in Acts chapter 2, God allowed all the different Jews that were living in other parts of the world to hear it in their own tongue. And of course, we have missionaries today who learn the tongue of the people there. And in the case of Dave Schrock over in Belarus, he was speaking it and preaching it in 6 months. That's pretty, almost a miracle. But God did something, and if you, I don't have time to get into this, but tongues were for the Jewish people. Tongues were to prove to them that God was doing something. And so in Acts chapter 2, it was the Jewish people who heard in their own language. But here in Acts chapter 10, God did something even more special. He allowed the Gentiles to speak in tongues as well. To astonish who? The Jews. And also, you remember it says that Cornelius invited a bunch of friends and family. And so if some of these Roman soldiers happened to maybe be from a different, they weren't from the Italian band, maybe they were from a, and the, but they all heard it in their tongue too, see? The purpose of the tongues was so that the word would spread quickly and multiply. That was the purpose of the tongues. It was not Yamaha, Suzuki, Kawasaki, let's jump around and swing from the chandeliers. That was not what it was about. Not only that, I heard a story one time about a young lady who got baptized in one of these false doctrine churches. And they believe that once you get baptized, that's when you speak in tongues. And so they dunked her under and they brought her back up. Do you have it? Do you have it? And she said, I don't think so. They dunked her under again. They brought her back up. Do you have it? Do you have it? I don't think so. They dunked her under again. And she said, I decided I was going to say something or I was going to drown. So she got up the third, just so they'd stop dunking her underwater. Notice, though, it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Notice the order here. The baptism came after they already had the Holy Ghost, which have received the Holy Ghost. You don't get baptized to receive anything. You receive something, then you get baptized. Okay? That's just false doctrine when you hear it the other way around. So Peter's convinced, and he says to his Jewish believer friends, can we forbid water that they should be baptized too? Verse 48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then prayed they him to tarry certain days. In chapter 11, the other Jewish believers hear about it. They're not too happy. But he tells them what happened, and they have no, they, what can they say? God saved them. They're saved. I want to point out, we've talked about Cornelius, we talked about Peter. I want to point out, lastly, God. Before we talk about God, let me just say this. In today's world, it's not necessarily as it was in Peter's day with the issue of Judaism versus the rest of the world and Gentiles. However, what happens when you have someone walk in and they got maybe a hat on sideways and they got 20 earrings in every place but their ears? Maybe they got tattoos all over the place and they're swinging chains or whatever. Maybe their pants are real baggy and real low. And maybe they just don't look very Christian as we would think of it. However, they come here because they want to hear the word of God. What do we do first? Clean them up on the outside or preach to them Jesus? What do we do first? I mean, sure, there's a lot of things that might need to change in their life, but it does no good to change those other things first, does it? What they need is Jesus Christ. And if they want to hear the truth, how dare we call it unclean or common and get our eyes off of something material and physical and outward, rather than seeing the hungry heart inside. I don't know, but maybe just the fact that this centurion, remember, it was centurions who were involved with Jesus' crucifixion, and this centurion bowed, "Stand up, I'm just a man." I think, of course, the vision and the attitude of Cornelius convinced Peter, this is a humble man who wants the truth. He's so hungry for the truth, he's worshiping me, thinking I'm the truth. But now I want to show you God, and of course, God's the preeminent. You know who God is? Jesus is God. He said, "I and the Father are one." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father." Jesus said, "I've been with you all this time. Why do you need to see the Father? You've seen me. You've seen the Father." 1 John 5:7 says that there are three that bear record in heaven, and these three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are one. Jesus is God. And he died for and will save all of the whosoevers. Notice verse 43. 10:43, Acts 10:43. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever." Not a certain religion, not a certain stripe, not a certain color. God is no respecter of persons. Whosoever, one of the greatest words in the Bible, whosoever. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Turn back to Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Acts 2:21. This is part of Peter's sermon. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." At the time he said it, I think he was thinking whosoever of the Jews. He was finding out in Acts chapter 10, it's whosoever of the anybody's. Whosoever. And then with me over in Romans chapter 10, I hope you have these verses memorized. Some of the greatest verses in the Bible, Romans chapter 10, starting in verse number 9. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's for whosoever, whoever will believe. Now, it isn't whosoever goes to heaven, though, is it? It's whosoever believeth. And it's not just whosoever believeth. This goes back all the way up to point number one. Because Cornelius believed something, didn't he? But it's whosoever believeth, what's the next two words in John 3:16? In Jesus, in him. Whosoever believeth in him. Look with me in 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. This is why I said what I said about Cornelius. He respected the true God, but he did not have the true God as his own until he had Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus and God are the same. They are one, equal. And so 1 John chapter 2, verse number 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. I don't want to get off on too far of a rabbit trail here, but let me just say this. Folks, just because they worship God, quote unquote, but they deny Jesus, they are not saved. They are not God's people. Without Jesus Christ, no one is God's people. You say, but the preacher on the radio and on the TV says that there's these people that are God's chosen people, but they reject Jesus Christ. And according to the Bible, they can't be God's people without Jesus. And Peter was finding that out and understanding that and realizing that. They have to have Jesus to be God's people. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants everyone to be saved. Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I love what the black preacher Sam Emery said. I never met him. I just read what he said. I loved it. He said, "There is no black church. There is no white church." He said, "There's only one color of the church, and that's red, for the blood of Jesus Christ." That's all. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Racism is a joke. It doesn't exist. You see, Acts chapter 17 says that God made of one blood all nations on the earth. One blood. And we have this mentality and this human concept of racism, and God is totally against it. He made of one blood all the nations, and the different skin tones and pigmentations and even the backgrounds and where they come from. I'm so thankful that God doesn't look down and say, "You come from the wrong stock. You cannot be a part." God is not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And notice in our story that we just read from Acts chapter 10, verse 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." They were so ripe. Cornelius and his house, they were so ripe that all they had to be told was, "It's Jesus," and boom, they were saved. They didn't have to wait for the piano to play and everyone stand with your heads bowed and come down, and you know, they'd have to talk to the pastor after. No, but while he was speaking, listen, salvation is that simple. Salvation is belief. I'm convinced in many cases there's been some people who already were believers on their way up to the front to ask about salvation. You know what I mean? They already got it, and they just had to have maybe someone confirm, "Yep, that you're saved." I mean, that's what happened there. As soon as Peter was preaching, "Oh, that's it. It's Jesus. It's him." And they were so ready. They just got saved that quickly, that instantly. Next week, we're going to baptize Mike and Ashley. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Wilma and I went over to their home, and we visited with them and talked to Mike. And he said that he had gotten saved out in Oregon. He always was a believer in God, but he got saved out in Oregon. And so he's getting baptized next Sunday. And then I asked Ashley, I said, "Ashley, if you died, would you go to heaven?" "I don't know. I'm not sure." I said, "Ashley, would you read this?" And then I went through how to be saved and what it means to be born again. And she took what we gave her and she said, "I'll think it over." I said, "Ashley, just think about it. And you could even pray and ask God to save you today, later today after we leave. But just think about what we've told you." And so then we went back a week or two later, and Ashley was there, and we talked to Mike about getting baptized. And then I turned to Ashley and I said, "Now, Ashley, how about you? Are you ready to pray and ask Jesus to save you? If you died today, would you go to heaven?" She said, "Yes, I would." And I thought, she just wants to get baptized like Mike. And so she's changed her story. She knew she said the wrong answer a couple weeks ago, so she's going to change her story around. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm just being honest. I thought maybe she's changed her mind. And she's just trying. And so I said, "Ashley, if you died, would you go to heaven?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Really?" I said, and Joseph was with me. And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, after you and Wilma talked to me a couple weeks ago, I prayed and asked God to save me." Amen. Amen. "But I wasn't there." So, you know who was there? The Holy Spirit was there. Amen. Right? Yeah. That's all that matters. Right? We try to add two things, and we don't need to add two things. We don't need to add anything to it. Just keep it simple. God wants everyone to be saved. I think there's some Corneliuses out there. I think there's some Cornelius. I think there's some sincere religious people out there. And maybe the Holy Spirit of God is saying, "Go talk to them." But they're so weird. No, go talk to them. God wants you to talk to them. Yeah, but they'll never come to church.
We don't even want them to come to church. They look weird. No, go talk to them.
And learn a lesson like Peter did. I can't help but think that on the way home, Peter and maybe the others were saying, wow, boy, are we short-sighted. Boy, are we blind to the love of God. Boy, are we blind to what God really wants to do. Huh? They're Democrats. Go talk to them. They believe in abortion. They're liberals. So what? Go talk to them. They need salvation. God's love's bigger than our little scope. We forget that when he hung on that cross, it was for everybody. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask if there's someone here that would say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I want to talk to you about that. I'd love to talk with you about salvation anytime. If there's anyone here right now, you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Please raise your hand. I'm the only one looking at this time. I'll be glad to visit with you afterwards and talk to you about salvation. Anybody like that? Please raise your hand. Secondly, you know that you are saved. But you forgot it wasn't just for you. It wasn't just for your family. It wasn't just for your stripe. It's for everybody. You know God wants you to preach it and teach it and love others outside of your circle. Maybe God spoke to your heart about that today. With their heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to pray we'll be dismissed today. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for Peter and Cornelius. We thank you for the example, and we thank you for you most of all, who demonstrated once again your passion is for everyone. And your mercy and your grace is not limited. It's for everyone. Dear God, please help us to think whosoever, and to think and to pray and to desire whosoever like you do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.